AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power. It's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair.
LSU softball survive and advance. We're going to talk about them coming up. Obviously, one of the biggest W's in Jaden and Malik's illustrious career happened over the weekend. We'll talk about that coming up. But obviously, LSU loses to Corian Moore. Now, this is what's so crazy to me about LSU losing out on one of its highest ranked commitments of all time. Is that I was live on Thursday night. I was live. And we ended a little bit earlier than we normally do. We ended at 9:45 p.m. Central. And bang, right when I hit in stream, DeCorian Moore decommits. And normally, I'd gotten Discord messages from our patrons. I'd gotten a ton of messages saying, God, it sucks that you went off right when big news broke. And normally, it's the other way. Normally, when we're live, some type of big news breaks. Hopefully, some positive big news breaks during this stream. But I kid you not, I did not sweat it. Not because DeCorian Moore isn't good. That's not the case at all. DeCorian Moore is very good. And you guys know my thought process in when it comes to recruiting wide receivers outside of the state of Louisiana. It's honestly never really been overly necessary at LSU. And we have over multiple decades of sample when it comes to that. I'm not saying you shouldn't go after Jamie French or whoever. Cam Coleman was my number one overall player on my board last year for anyone, especially ones that took a visit to LSU and obviously ended up going to Auburn. I'm fine with recruiting out-of-state wide receivers. I am. Just make sure it's worth it. But I didn't lose any sleep over it for this reason. Number one, it's wide receiver at LSU. Understand that more often than not, when LSU has had a major wide receiver decommit, oftentimes it has opened a slot for somebody else. Who remembers JoJo Earl? JoJo Earl, he leaves, opens a slot for Malik Nabers. Guess what? Jermaine Burton leaves, opens a slot for some other role player whose name slips my mind. Okay? I've got to be real. If DeCorian Moore wants to decommit, I am fully supportive of his decision, even though I want him to go to LSU. He has a good relationship with Bryce Underwood, who's been on this channel before. He's got a good relationship with the LSU staff. He's got a good relationship with one of my best friends in media, Blake Ruffino. Blake, you know, carried his entire operation to Dallas to do his life commitment. I remember calling Blake night of and telling him how sad I was for him because that was such a big moment. For him and a big moment for LSU that they landed DeCorian Moore. And DeCorian Moore obviously helped us with Bryce Underwood. There's no other way around it. But I'll be honest. It's not the end of the world. And DeCorian Moore has honestly focused in on his recruitment on four schools, Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas, along with LSU. So a few weeks ago, or a few months ago, honestly, he said, look, I'm going to focus on these four schools. He said that as a committed LSU prospect. So that's one sign that he was thinking about going somewhere else. And then the second thing, and it's very important to keep this in mind, he is really freaking good. Like, he is really, really, really freaking good. And I grade wide receivers harder than any other position because the standard of playing wide receiver at LSU is so high. It is so freaking high. It is one of the more finite positions we have in the sport of college football, especially when it comes to recruiting. There is a really high supply of wide receivers, and the demand oftentimes doesn't meet that, where it's the opposite for linemen, as we've seen in the portal. So, look, I think DeCorey Moore is really good. It would not have shocked me if he would have gone to LSU and had a career as good as Bryce Underwood's. I'm that serious. Like, he is really, really, really good. And it does sting that we lost him. It really, really does. But if he goes to Oregon, you're never going to have to worry about him unless you play him in the playoff. If he goes to Ohio State, you're never going to have to worry about him unless he goes to the playoff. And those are the two schools you're going to want him to go to. Texas obviously has a very strong connection. There's a bunch of Texas players from Duncanville that are on the team. But my DMs have been flooded with DeCorey Moore questions. And I waited until Sunday, right? I didn't do a video. I didn't do anything. I'm fully supportive of his decision. I always want high schoolers to do what they feel is best for them. But if this was a five-star offensive tackle, the mood here would be very different. But this is a five-star wide receiver, albeit a freaking good one, a very, very good one, one that will be an NFL draft pick one day. But guess what? Teron Francis is a commit in this class. And I posted a video of him hurdling someone at the wide receiver position at Etna Carr High School. And he looks pretty good. He looks pretty, pretty, pretty good. Am I a little worried about the future of the LSU wide receiver position? Yeah, because the group this year is a little bit on the older side. And going into next year, there is no clear alpha. But this is what I would say as well, that if DeCorey Moore is doing this for money, to go get more money somewhere else, all the power to you. For me, as someone who doesn't make a lot of money doing this, I would go to the highest bidder. If SiriusXM or someone like that came to me and said, hey, you got to quit doing the YouTube thing, we'll give you $150,000 a year to do a radio show only on our network, I would happily oblige. That's just part of it, because that's a life-changing amount of money for my family. I would want DeCorey Moore, if he chose to go that route, to do that. If you want to go get more money somewhere else, all the power to you. But if money wasn't the issue, there are only two schools, at the wide receiver position that you would go to over any other school in the country. Only two schools make sense. That's LSU and Ohio State. If you're a wide receiver, you should go to either one of those two schools. You should go to either one of those two schools. They have the best wide receiver coaches in the country. Obviously, Hartline at Ohio State, and then obviously Cortez Hankton had five players selected in this last NFL draft. Five, which is crazy. But, and you'll have Kyron Lacy next year, by the way. But even outside of that, you're a good friend. You're going to get good quarterback play. You're going to get really, really good quarterback play at LSU. But Garrett Nussmeier, Colin Hurley, Bryce Underwood, and all the quarterbacks at LSU for the foreseeable future. LSU's going to give you a single-digit number. They're certainly going to make sure there's one open for you. And guess what? There's going to be a ton of playing time as a true freshman, which I think DeCorey Moore, for me, obviously it's a little early, He does have a year one grade for me, and I don't hand those out. And what a year one grade means from my perspective is you are undoubtedly someone that could play in the SEC in year one at any school. DeCorian Moore has that from me. And, of course, it's a no-dud thing. He's a can't-miss five-star. But there are a lot of five-stars I do not give that grade out to. I do think he is really, really, really good. But my thing is this. If you want to go to a school that is going to get you to the NFL, go to LSU. Go to Ohio State. And Ohio State might be where he wants to go. I totally get it. Ohio State, I totally get it. You want to go to Oregon or Texas? I get it too. They've got deep pockets. They need skill position guys. They do. They really, really, really do. They don't produce receivers like LSU and Ohio State does. I totally get it because he is a bona fide stud. But you know what's interesting? And we're going to get to all your super chats. I just saw Simper give out a super chat. Do you know, and this is crazy. I saw Michael Rubin tweet this out a little bit earlier. And Michael Rubin is an idol of mine. He is a billionaire. He's the owner of Fanatics. He's controversial. There's a lot of differentiating opinions of Fanatics. I like Fanatics. I do. There are some things I like. So some things that obviously even Rubin would say he needs to work on. But Michael Rubin's story is very inspiring, and I got to meet him last year at the National. So for those that don't know who Michael Rubin is, this is going to sound so profound here in a second, because he just changed the lives of Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers. Just changed their lives. And I remember at the National last year, so the National is this big sports collecting convention, I met with Michael Rubin for a little bit. And I also met with his right-hand man, Mike Mahan. And I didn't tell Rubin this. I told Mahan this. So I was like, hey, next year, you guys are going to be signing Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers to big deals. And he didn't know who that was at the time. Of course he didn't. He's a, you know, the head of Fanatics. He's an international. He runs an international huge brand. Okay. But I told him, I was like, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, remember the name. I bonafide told him that straight to their face. And right when I flew into Chicago, someone close to Jaden actually called me, and he didn't know I was going to tell them that. But I don't think that had any sway in them changing Jaden and Malik's life. So I'm about to show you these photos, and this kind of went under the radar. And this is going to tie in with DeCorian Moore. So hang with me here for a second. Okay? So what you're looking at right now is a photo here with Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, a few of the other rookies, and that is Michael Rubin, Tom Brady, the biggest football player of all time, and Jay-Z, arguably the biggest rapper of all time. I don't think neither are the best at their craft. That's not my opinion, though. Well, it is my opinion, but they are obviously in the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks and rappers. You can't really argue to the contrary, especially modern era. Either way, here's a photo with Jaden Daniels and Jay-Z, Hove, and here's Malik Nabers and Michael Rubin and Jay-Z. Now, I want to show you this really quickly, all right, for Michael Rubin. And he tweeted this out. And this has always kind of been a joke on Twitter. Would you prefer $500,000 or breakfast with Jay-Z and Tom Brady? It's always kind of been an online joke with Jay-Z. Would you prefer $500,000 or would you prefer to have dinner with Jay-Z to pick his brain because, you know, he's a mogul, okay? And that's essentially what happened here with DeCorian Moore. You go to LSU, I guarantee you Marvin Harrison would have been there if he chose to sign a deal with Fanatics. You go to LSU or Ohio State, guess what? You'll be there. You'll be there in 4 years. 4 years. But if you want an extra 500K, if you want just that much more money now, go to Texas or Oregon. And I'm sure LSU would have been happy to potentially match whatever the final number was. I don't know the full details of what happened. But what I can tell you is the true transcendent difference makers, the guys that are in the video games, the guys that are on the cover of GQ, the guys that truly move the needle at the wide receiver position at the NFL level is LSU. It's LSU. And LSU knows this. They got Cortez Hankton. They're paying Cortez Hankton $1 million every year. because he's proven to put guys in the NFL. If you make the first round, Cortez Hankton pays for your suit to go to the NFL draft in the interview he did with Andy Staples a few weeks ago. So if DeCorey Moore was watching this, I would say, hey, I totally get it. I totally get it. But I would highly reconsider because in four measly years, Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers could be you and Bryce Underwood sitting next to Jay-Z, Tom Brady, and Michael Rubin. I see it now. I see it now. I didn't see any Texas players there, did I? I don't think I saw any Longhorns there. I didn't see Xavier Worthy there. I didn't see Eddie Mitchell there. They'll be really good pros, especially Xavier Worthy. They'll be pretty good pros. But LSU is a needle-moving brand. Go there. And I'm not saying Texas isn't. But I'm telling DeCorey Moore, if you flip back to LSU, that'll be you, Bryce Underwood with Jay-Z. Freaking Hove, sitting next to Hove, having breakfast with Hove. That's worth $500K. In the minds of many on Twitter, I would take the $500K. No disrespect to Hove. Now, if you're talking breakfast with T-Pain, I'm still taking the $500K, but that's not here nor there. But then again, we lost him, and I understand it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. LSU, another recruiting loss in the midst of all this NIL stuff or whatever. Not sweating it. I'm sweating it a little bit, but overall, I didn't lose sleep over it. Okay? Because I trust Cortez Hankton. I trust Brian Kelly. And as long as LSU has Bryce Underwood and continues on the trajectory, we might not have the number one overall class like we were slated to have and we were in the process of getting. But it doesn't mean we're out on Jamie French. It doesn't mean we're out on a lot of these other can't-miss five-star guys or whatever. But as long as Bryce Underwood's committed, I'm a happy camper. That's it. So, shout-out to Jaden and Malik Nabers. I know I tied that into DeCorey Moore and Bryce Underwood. That'll be Bryce Underwood and Teron Francis now, 4 years from now. Now, what's funny is I actually like Xavier Worthy. I think he's going to change the trajectory of Texas wide receivers in the NFL. AD Mitchell, I don't know too much. I don't know. A little worried about him. Even though he got a good landing spot in Indianapolis. Still, I think LSU's going to be okay. I do. It's hi to LA Mom. She's back from vacation. Lance is still in Puerto Rico. Let's go to the super chat. Simper says LSU turns three stars into all stars. We are good. That's your super. And you're right. Here's one thing I will say though, is you still do need the four and five star guys, but your point still remains. I do think though, the recruiting services have gotten so much better. I get no money from On3. I get no money from 247. I am open. I'm open to joining a bigger network like that one. But you know, I think the services have gotten better at rating kids, and I don't know how many 3-star gyms you're going to see anymore, as in guys that are like clear cut outside the top 300 or like outside of the 3-star ranking. Like, for instance, like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes are 3-star recruits, but they would have been 4-star recruits 5 years later because recruiting services had gotten better and there was more. They were like fringe 3-stars. They were closer to a 4-star rating than they were like someone like Peyton Thorne, if you will. But, you know, ultimately, I'm very happy for Jaden and Malik Nabers. I'm very happy for Teron Francis. Obviously, the pressure goes up for him. And one more thing. As far as Moore is concerned, he still could pick LSU. He might be watching me right now and saying, hey, this guy is inspiring me. This 5'7" chubby Bruno Mars looking dude is inspiring me to go back to LSU. And he's going to pick up the phone, call Brian Kelly. I made a mistake. You pick up the phone right now. What is this? But it was frustrating, though, taking calls. Like, right when I get off a live stream on Thursday night, what happened? What happened? How good is this guy? And it's fun. It comes along with being an LSU YouTuber, that when something bad happens, 1,000 things fly your way. Now, back to the positive, and then we're going to get to some of your comments. One positive is we are one day closer to the season opener versus USC. I'm still on the fence about going to Vegas. Still on the fence. But I do want to shout out LSU baseball. And as we've already mentioned, LSU softball. Celebrating players that are actually already playing for LSU. Big shout out to LSU baseball. What a sweep. And I got into a heated phone call earlier today with Blake. I mentioned Blake a minute ago. And I was like, hey, we're locked in. LSU baseball's locked in, right? And he told me no. He said LSU baseball is close to being locked into the NCAA tournament. Close. Close. But it's not a lock. And I'm like, wait. I was told if LSU baseball gets to 13 wins, they'll make the tournament. We're at 13 wins now. We swept Ole Miss. We took care of business when the pressure was the highest. And you're telling me some random 9:30 a.m. game on a Wednesday versus Georgia and Hoover is a determining factor of whether or not LSU baseball is going to get in or not? And he said, yeah. Now, I do not write for D1 baseball. I am not Matt Grissom. I'm not a baseball national expert. I am not. But LSU baseball deserves to be in the tournament. I prefer picking teams that are playing their best. LSU was not the same team that they were a few months ago. If you want to put the best teams in the field, LSU baseball needs to get in. And then I'm going to sound elitist as hell right now. That's fine. LSU baseball is the biggest brand in the sport. And college baseball needs those big brands. They do. The tournament gets a lot more interesting if LSU baseball is in it. So do you really believe a bubble team with the brand of LSU is going to be left out? They're not that dumb. They're not that dumb. If you got to choose between LSU and Norfolk State, you pick LSU. If you got to choose between LSU and Winthrop, you pick LSU. If you got to choose between LSU and Alaskan Sea Bass State College University, you're picking LSU. Even if Alaskan Sea Bass State University on the XYZ is 48-3 and they tripped up in the championship game, you are giving the nod to LSU. The committee knows what they're doing. You don't think all the bars in Omaha says, hey, at least give us a shot for LSU getting hot and buying 16 gazillion Jell-O shots at Rocco's or going to Barrett's Barleycorn, the Irish pub that has a freaking volleyball court in it where LSU fans drink it dry. You're out of your damn mind. The committee is locking in LSU. They are locking them in. I know that sounds elitist, but I'm telling you right now, you want to know when LSU baseball season changed? And if there was someone at LSU baseball, I want you to listen closely. I am not a baseball play-by-play expert. Okay. I do college basketball play-by-play. Very lucky to get to do college basketball play-by-play this past year. I will say, I did get a random call roughly, 2 months ago? Saying, hey, can you get to Alec Box Stadium? We need you to call the Nichols broadcast for the baseball game tonight. And I drove. I got the call at noon. Drove multiple hours. Game started at 6:30. I walked into the press box at 6:15 and called a great game. Or at least I think I did. The season changed after that. If you go look, Nichols games, bats got hot. Remember, Nichols beat us last year in Alec Box. We destroyed them. And after that, we didn't look back. It was me. I deserve the credit. I do. I was there. I witnessed Tommy White, Sleepy Hollow in a man. I was there. But if anyone at LSU baseball for the LSU broadcast ever needs a fill-in guy, I don't care if it's SEC Network. I don't care if it's a freaking Ocho. I'll drive anywhere to call a game. Just give me a lineup. Just give me a lineup of 5 minutes of prep. I'll do as good as any backup announcer as you can do. I'm no Lynn Rollins. I'm no Chris Blair. Not as good as those guys, but I'm going to do my damn best. But the season turned when that happened. Okay. Let's freaking go! LSU baseball is getting in the tournament. They're making a freaking run. It's ironic they sweep Ole Miss, and they're about to go on a mother freaking Ole Miss run to the freaking World Series. That's the beauty of baseball. You can suck all year, but just be good enough. And we don't, LSU baseball never really sucked outside of like the beginning of the SEC play. We'll talk about that. But you could be mid. That's the phrase the kids use now. You could be mid and mid your way to the College World Series. And LSU baseball is going to freaking do that. Let's go, Jay Johnson. And I do want to shout out two people. Don't like to use the word legend all that often. I can get that out a little too much. Two people deserve legendary status. Two people. Outside of TJ Reed and Jared and all the big-time PHL supporters who monetarily have supported me during this offseason. And if I didn't mention, I know Simper super chatted quite a bit. By the way, let's give out this Darryl Williams autograph card. I tried to give it away. Actually, no. I think someone won it, but they didn't claim it. So, $20 super chat. We'll give out this Darryl Williams autograph card. But I want this to be clear. I want this to be crystal clear. Okay? Two people deserve the word legend. Now, I think there's a difference between legend and like transcendency, right? Like Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz are like transcendent. Get a statue of them, level players, especially with the way Skeens playing at major league level and Dylan Cruz having a 3-year success. But Tommy Tanks, this dude hits his first ever triple. This dude cycles, or not cycles, but it's home runs, grand slams, whatever you want to call it. I love obscure jersey numbers. Number 47. There's not many famous LSU 47s. I can't really think of any football 47s outside of Tremaine Edmonds. I don't even think I'm saying his name correctly. But he was a backup defensive lineman on the 2017. Very underrated pass rusher. Very, very underrated. Back when defensive ends were thick. And you guys know I love my thick football players. Love it. Julie, thank you so much for the super chat. Just got a message. Seriously, just got an Instagram message from a prominent family member from a prominent LSU team. Kind of cool. I say hi to you. I'll keep you anonymous for the sake of it. But Julie also super chats. Appreciate it. And if you ever want to send me a message, feel free to at Power Hour LSU on Instagram or Twitter, either one. But Julie, you pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. But freaking Tommy Tanks is a freaking legend. He just is. I mean, he's got the nickname. He's got the aura. He's got the beard. Sleepy Hollow guy. The dude deserves all the credit in the world for carrying us. And it wasn't just him. Jerry Jones has had a good year. There's plenty of other people who deserve credit. And obviously, I'm not Kyle Peterson. I'm not the college baseball guy. Never claimed to be. But I'll tell you, Tommy Tanks is a freaking real deal. And if you can't see that, it's on you. Guys up there with some of the greats. Okay. And Taylor Pleasance. I mean, what else can you say? Taylor freaking Pleasance. Now, forget the name if someone can and correct me on this. I do love the softball player that broke the scoreboard today for LSU. That was insane. But Taylor Pleasance. Dear Lord, what a freaking player. What a freaking player. Taylor Pleasance. And it's insane how many, like, legendary LSU female athletes, not just the male, the female athletes. Got Taylor Pleasance. Got Haley Bryant. Got Angel Reese. You got Flage. It's insane. So shout out to you, Taylor Pleasance. Shout out to freaking you. What a freaking beast. Whew. Taylor Pleasance. Plays the most difficult position on the diamond. And then, at the same time, can swing the F out of the bat. So shout out to our softball experts in the Discord. That's Sherry Berry and that Skipper. That's why you should join the PHL Patreon. It gets you those Discord access. It gets you all my extra film studies. We'll have another one out tomorrow. I did drop my Suggs, JVR Suggs film study earlier this week on Patreon. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you do. All right. Petty hit the scoreboard. Tell him, JJ, Alaskan Seabass State has no chance to get in over LSU. Darren, watch it on Facebook. Welcome to the channel. As long as Bryce Underwood is in the class, everything will fall into place. Welcome to the channel. I will say, you know, one guy that is steadfast in how he feels about LSU football is Jared. I'm not just saying that because Jared is like one of our biggest supporters. Wouldn't be here for one for Jared. I'm serious. But Jared has always kept it a buck when it comes to recruiting. He's like, hey, I love the channel. I love PHL, but he doesn't care until the signature is signed. And I'm starting to think there is a growing number of you that are like, you know what? I don't really give a damn until the signature is signed. And I get it. I think there is a growing number. There you go. JJ, thank you for your super chat. I still need to come have steaks with you. Long time inside joke between me, JJ. Lovely wife as well. Thank you so much, JJ, for all your support. And speaking of JJ, me and JJ met at this event. It's got a new location, June 29th, Broadmoor Methodist Church, our next PHL get-together at 3715 Uri Drive. Mark it down in your calendars now, June 29th. It's an all-day affair, 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Free Karcha, I'll be there. There might be some LSU athletes there. Normally there is, and that's why, you know, they had me go there to interview the athletes. But I also, I really go there as well for the fellowship. I've met probably 20 to 30 of you at these past events. Actually, it's way more than that because I've done this four or five times now. And we're doing it again, once again, a new location, June 29th. And, you know, hopefully we'll have some LSU athletes show up. But shout out to Ty Christiana. And this is where Skipper is. Cannot forget Allie Newland, Sierra Briggs, and the most improved player, Raylan Gutierrez. Skipper, the LSU softball expert here on PHL. Really excited about this team. Okay? I'm also really excited. If it comes to sports cards and you want to increase your sports card knowledge,
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Please go give them a five-star review, the Sports Card Strategy Show, and join us, nooffseason.com. I'm a subscriber of the nooffseason.com sports card formula. Now, hey, Skip, thanks for the super chat, man. You're the one dropping the knowledge, man. So LSU will play, and this is the thing that sucks. They got the 9 seed. The 9 seed is the friend zone seed. Like, you get some. Friend zone's not probably the best word. It's probably friends with benefits, right? You get some of the absolute best you can get in the postseason, which is a home series, a home regional where everything matters the most. But you're the 9 seed. You need to have a top 8 seed to get the super regional, unless the team in your bracket loses. So, Skipper, please correct me if I'm wrong on this. LSU either had to play Stanford or they'll have to play someone else, and if it's someone else, LSU will get to have those games at home. So I'm sorry I don't know the full scenario here. I just care that LSU has moved on. Also, crazy weekend in the world of sports. Crazy weekend. With the NBA, the Knicks get upset. I was sad about that. They're out. I'm not even a Knicks fan. I just think it's a cool story. Then you have the PGA Championship this weekend. Guy gets arrested and still able to play. Scottie Scheffler. Crazy story there. Insane weekend in the world of sports. We'll talk about that coming up. We normally say that for the very end. Now, as we always do, the questions are open to you guys. JJ, obviously, it's your super chat. Get the next question. I didn't actually read LA Mom's message earlier. She said, thank you for giving LSU baseball their turnaround. Thank you for your generous super chat. And LA Mom, I hope your cruise was fantastic. Now, today was an emotional day for me. I like to open up. All right, I got to, last week go to one of my nieces' graduation. This weekend, one of my nieces took up dance, and she did her big dance routine. And it's a huge stage. There's probably close to 1,000 people there, and they're all there supporting their kids and all, you know, like these big dance recitals. And I got to see my niece do really well this past weekend. So really excited about that. I'm in a good mood. But my favorite coach retired today, Jurgen Klopp of Liverpool. Arguably my favorite coach of all time. Coach's final match for Liverpool today. So shout out to you, Jurgen. I promise, I always say, I'm not going to talk a whole lot of Liverpool on here. But I wanted to dedicate a little portion of my live stream to Jurgen Klopp. I get emotional. It's the final game. Me and my wife bonded over Liverpool soccer. It's one of our things. I want to talk a little bit about going LSU going into next season. And look, I've always been upfront about the holes on this team. I've always been upfront about some of the shortcomings of, you know, the Brian Kelly era. But overall, if we were to take a look at the good versus the bad, there's been a lot of bad, if we're being honest. There's been a lot of bad. But LSU football is still in an overall healthy state. I would say probably, you know, Brian Kelly preaches process over results. And if you're a process over results type of thinker, okay, you have to take into account when the move was made or when a decision is made instead of the result of the decision, if that makes sense. So I'm not saying results don't matter. For most of you, results are the only thing that matters. But if you're a more nuanced thinker, or if you're someone that likes to think about things more deeply, obviously this channel is for you. I'm not for everyone. I get it. But I am a process over results oriented thinker. And I was going through all the moves that Brian Kelly has made this offseason, and I would say probably 90% of them I agree with. And the single most important thing he did, which is more important than any individual player in the transfer portal, more important than, honestly, any position coach or anything of that matter, the single most important thing you have to do is get your coordinator right. Okay? You've got to get your coordinators right. It is so much more important than practically every other decision you make as a head coach when it comes to actual football. You've got to get the coordinator right. You've also got to get your quarterback right. But I feel like that's more of an NFL thing because a quarterback sticks with you forever if you get it right, or as long as you want him to be your quarterback. That's not the case in college. But you still need to manage a quarterback position well via high school recruiting and the transfer portal. But you have got to get your coordinators right. You just do. And Brian Kelly got this one right. There was a lot, if you really looked and you really listened and you really did research, there was a lot with Matt House that was a major, major red flag for me, okay? And that's why I will stick with my opinion on Blake Baker. I think this was a very, very good decision. I really do believe so. And as much as Bo Davis is going to help us, and as much as he will hopefully move the needle for our defensive tackle room and steady our defensive line coaching, which has just been hellacious over the past couple of years here, Blake Baker is so, so, so important. It is so, so, so important. And, you know, as far as the offensive coordinator is concerned, I don't think he really had a choice to stick with Joe Sloan. It was the right decision as well. So, a year from now, let's just say Blake Baker doesn't have a good year one, which is possible. And let's just say a year from now, the offense isn't the same with Dembrock calling the plays, who was a really good play caller, and Joe Sloan calling the plays, who has called plays before at the Division I Power 5 level, but the first time being a full-time P5 OC, I'm not going to have revisionist history on it. I am of the belief that, yes, you partially judge a coach based on how his hires work out after 2 or 3 years, but you don't know what's going to happen the next 2 or 3 years. So I am judging Brian Kelly based on process. And if I'm basing him on process, I think this time he got the DC coordinator right, or higher right, and he got the offensive coordinator higher correct. Now, was Blake Baker the absolute best candidate out there for LSU? I would say no, but I would also say he's pretty damn close. He is pretty damn close. Did you have to pay a lot? $2.5 million a year? Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. But here's the thing. You're not paying it. And it's not just the fact of you're not paying it. There's no salary cap. And I understand there's only a finite amount of dollars out there when it comes to NIL and coach salaries and all of that. But it's so much more important. It really, really, really is getting those coordinators right. It is so, so, so freaking important. Okay? Okay. We got an Alabama debate going on. And this happens a lot. I go on one rant that I want to get into. And then the chat just goes crazy. It is amazing how much our chat talks about Alabama. Like, it is amazing. We're infatuated with Alabama. All right. Let me share one thing about Bama in the Saban years. And I'll give you my thoughts on this year's Alabama. So we won't continue fighting. Because we do have a lot of Alabama fans that watch this channel. I don't know why, but it's partially true. And also, what's partially true, actually, this is true. We have a lot of people that live in Alabama that are LSU fans that watch our channel. I don't know. The first thing is, there has never been a time where one annual matchup that meant everything, which for over a decade, LSU and Alabama meant everything for the SEC. Outside of a few Auburn years, LSU and Alabama was everything in the SEC. It was the regular season game that mattered the most. How do we know this? Well, look at the national championships. Look at what CBS decided to do. They almost flexed that game at night every year Saban was there. And each team, since the year 2010, have scheduled their bye week before playing each other. So what does that tell you? That game is the single most important game on the schedule. They always had a bye week before playing each other. Equal rest. CBS flex games. National championships. NFL draft picks. Ratings. All of it. All of it. It is a huge cash cow. For the networks, for the programs, and all of that. But it doesn't mean as much as it used to. Number one, Saban's retired. There's going to be some regression with Alabama's program, even though I do think Kalen DeBoer is a really good coach. I'd feel a lot better about him from a Bama perspective if he was able to keep his play caller, but he went to the NFL. What I would tell you, though, about Bama is it's a 12-team playoff. Basically, the winner or loser of that game was out of the playoff every year that they played each other. All right. Outside of 2011, which kind of screwed us in the long term. But now with the 12-team playoff, the game does not matter as much. It just doesn't. You can lose that game and still lose another game, and you're getting in. If LSU only has two losses this year, they're in the playoff. It's a near lock. It's a near lock. So the game just does not matter as much anymore, and there's not really a need to be as infatuated with them because their statement just not there anymore. That's not me saying, hey, we shouldn't worry about Alabama. Hell, they're still going to be good. They still recruit at a high level. They hired a really good coach. But let's be honest here. Like, it used to be that the Alabama game was a de facto playoff game. Not the case anymore. Am I okay with that? No. I hate it. I hate it. I freaking hate it. Ooh, David. That's true. Crap, what's his name? Why am I drawing a blank? They tried to bring him back. They tried to bring him back. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Let's go to Jewel calling me out. Why are people complaining, including me, about why Coach Kelly is not trying to buy players? I feel what he's saying. I don't mind having a 10-2, 9-3, as long as we are consistent. Why are people complaining about why Coach Kelly is... Oh. That's so last week. I don't think I complained too much about it. I mean, I think for the most part, I fully agreed with the context of what he was talking about, which was the Dominic Williams situation. I wouldn't have worded what he said the same, but I just don't think it's as big of a deal. I think it was like kind of a college football offseason type of story. And I also said, you know what I've said from the get-go, there's a lot of people that just don't like Brian Kelly, and it was a good opportunity just to dunk on him. Okay? But I don't think I complained too much. I think I was, for the most part, fine with what he said. And that's okay. I'm not always going to fully agree with what Brian Kelly said. I mean, I just did a long rant about him knocking it out of the park with Blake Baker. That would have been the direction I would have gone. And you weaken a potential playoff team. You know, Missouri's going to be good these next couple of years. Definitely next year, they're going to be pretty good. The second part, I have a little bit of an issue with. Okay, I don't mind having a 10-2, 9-3, 9-4 season. Okay, I agree with you. I agree overall with what you say. All right, that, you know, we're not quite Georgia, so we're not going to have like a guaranteed only one loss a year type of team. I get it, but as much as I've been like, consistency, more often than not, legacies are tied to having that one spectacular season. And the fact of the matter is, if LSU had a good defense, let's just say like 2019 LSU, a 50th ranked defense in the country, even though they were better than that. I've done that rant 1,000 times. But let's just say LSU had a slightly worse defense than what they had last year. They're probably winning the national championship. They're definitely running the table after losing to Florida State. They're probably winning the Natty. And why didn't LSU win the national championship? Well, we had a bad defensive coordinator. That's just that simple. And is it just Madhouse's fault? No. The defensive staff wasn't really that great. I think a lot of you would agree with that. And that was a golden opportunity. But that's in the past. That's in the past. I feel like Brian Kelly has done more good than bad at LSU. And in the grand scheme of things, that's all you can really ask for. I do agree. Consistent 10-2, 9-3 years are really good for LSU. It really is, especially with the deeper SEC coming. But fair or not, Brian Kelly will ultimately be decided by national championships. And, you know, in a way, I'll also judge him based on college football playoffs. Because you need a lot of luck to win national championships. But I'm basing the success of LSU, how many playoff games do you win? I think that will be a good barometer of success. How many playoffs you go to, I think that's fair. But a really good barometer of success, how many playoff games do you win? And I'll go to this before the super chat here. One more thing on Brian Kelly's comments as far as the NIL stuff is concerned. And you know, I've done my own digging here as well. He can't just pay whoever he wants to come to the school. It's just not how it works. All right. There's got to be multiple people that agree on it. It's just how it works. Because obviously some players are asking for a ridiculous amount of money. And BK can't be the only one that says yes. There's a lot of different people who have, you know, their tentacles into the NIL decision making, right? Like, if you're paying pretty much any human being over $1 million to be a part of your football program, Scott Woodward's got to sign off on it. You know, Austin Thomas probably has some say. But there's a lot of things that need to go through with it. All right. You also got to remember there's a board of directors at LSU. It's not as easy as just one Brian Kelly quote or one Brian Kelly approval or anything like that. Let's go to Justin. What's the new must-win game for bragging rights? Thank you, Justin, for your super chat as well. Appreciate that, man. If every single one of y'all gave $2, that'd make me very, very, very happy, because I'm reinvesting into some new stuff. Obviously, you know, we put a lot of money into like the nice lights for the backdrop. I'm doing whatever I can to level up this channel. Now, what is the new sexy must-win game on the schedule? Now, what's funny is everyone's probably going to still say Alabama. And I agree, Alabama is still the game on the schedule for LSU. But the answer to this is actually Oklahoma for a few reasons. Number one, I do think the criteria for getting into the college football playoff will loosen. It won't be as rigid. Right? So I think the teams that get the final few slots in the college football playoff will be a little bit more of a subjective decision, right? Like, if you were to make the college football playoff in the past with a four-team playoff, it used to mean, well, you better as hell be a conference champion. Or you better only have one loss if we're going to put you into a four-team playoff. But now it's a 12-team playoff, and I think it does open up more subjectivity. I think it really, really, really does. Let's say the Big 12 just sucks, and you're having to choose between a one-loss Big 12 team and a three-loss SEC team that lost three close games. You know, that could be a back-and-forth debate. But what we learned in the college football playoff process from this past year with a four-team playoff is that how you end matters based on your health, based on how you look. Because what did the playoff committee say, Justin? The playoff committee opened up the most subjective can of worms you possibly can in sports. We want the four best teams in the college football playoff. And now the committee wants the 12 best teams. Now, in theory, that's impossible if you're going to have one automatic group of five team into the playoff. Now, could that group of five team very well be one of the 12 best teams? Sure, but some years they're not going to be one of the 12 best teams. A four-loss SEC team will be better in some years than the best group of five team, if that makes sense. So what is that? Carter, what does this whole diatribe mean? Well, if the can of worms is open that, hey, we want the best teams in. Well, guess what some committee members are going to say? Well, how good are you right now? And you know, one way to tell how good a team is right now is how did you do in your last game? Okay. LSU-Oklahoma is the final game of the season for not only this year, but more than likely in 2025. Now, how did we get to this point? Well, LSU and Texas A&M used to be the final game of the season. That should not be the case. I have always said that the Texas A&M game is a manufactured rivalry with not as much history as people want to put out there. And, you know, the LSU-Arkansas game means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. I have no idea why they ended that Thanksgiving tradition, but it was just too one-sided of a rivalry. Arkansas fans, their Super Bowl is the LSU game every year. LSU fans, it's not the same. It's not the same. So, with Texas A&M now picking up their true rival, Texas, for rivalry week, we were both orphaned when it comes to rivalry week, so we were smashed together with Oklahoma. A program that, based on success over the past couple of decades, is probably equal to that of LSU. Obviously, LSU has more national championships, they have more NFL players. Oklahoma didn't have as volatile of down years, per se. They had a bunch of Heisman Trophy winners, a bunch of draft picks in their own right. They also had a natty in the early 2000s with Josh Heupel. They've been to plenty of college football playoffs. They've had more stable, consistent success, not only at as far as like year by year, but also with athletic directors and coaches. They've had one AD and one essential coach. You know, Stoops would have never left, but he retired and then handed it over to Lincoln Riley. So look, LSU Oklahoma about the same. Obviously LSU is ahead, but Oklahoma is right there. Okay. It's the new must-win game. Now, it's not a must-win. No, with the 12-team playoff, there's no game That is a must win. But with what the committee told you last year, and with what the structure of a season looks like now, Oklahoma is the new bragging rights game. Now, here's the issue with that, Justin, and why I think this is a good super chat. Okay? Is that it doesn't matter as much to any of us, and it shouldn't. LSU Oklahoma has zero history outside of one national championship game. Now, that was a pivotal moment in our program's history. We wouldn't be where we are today if we did not win that game. But it's just, there's not a whole lot of history. There's just not. Okay? And yes, we put 63 points on Oklahoma in another playoff game. But it's not really history. It's not really history. All right? You can argue it was our best defensive game of all time in the 07 or the 03 national championship game. And, you know, we had a pick six and obviously winning a game 21-14 on a defensive touchdown and holding the Heisman Trophy winner to 14 points in a natty. And it was also arguably our best offensive game with 63 touchdowns, 7 passing touchdowns, 4 receiving touchdowns by 1 player and a half, all without your first-round running back fully healthy. It's crazy. It's crazy how crazy that game was. But here's the truth. Okay. We're still set. Everybody, welcome Garl. Welcome Garl to the channel. Y'all show Garl some love. The Master Blaster is in here. Let's talk about Trey Holly. Any updates on Trey Holly? This is a very good super chat. Y'all show Garl some love in the chat, man. First time showing up in the chat and you're dropping a 20 spot. I really appreciate that, man. I really, really, really do appreciate that. So let's chat some about Trey. First thing about Trey, and this goes for any legal situation, any legal, anything along those lines, all right? It never goes by quickly. It never does, all right? So, even though we got an update a few weeks ago that some of the charges were dropped, per se, it's still not completely done. Now, I've kind of faded it in a certain way. I'm not keeping up with, like, the day-to-day involving that as concern. But Trey Holly is a very pivotal player for next year's team. Even if you don't think he's that great of a player, our running back room is shallow. I think LSU feels pretty good about that because they didn't necessarily chase any running backs in the portal. But, yes, I don't know what's going to happen. I would probably be like 50-50 on if Trey Holly is going to play for us next year. I would lean probably 60-40 that he will play, but there's that's just me speculating at this point, but you really don't know. Now, will LSU try to get John Emery back? Man, girl, I do not know, but I do agree with the final part. Big congrats to him on graduating because, like John, I had academic issues at LSU. I did. Like, I really struggled to graduate. I graduated at 2.7 in a school or in a major that required you to have a 3.0. So I don't know if I just slipped through the cracks. I don't know if I'm the calling myself out. I've shared this before. But big congrats to John Emery. I'm serious. Big congrats. Obviously, you know, we've all had our fair share of criticism per se, but John, congrats, man, for real. For real. I don't think he's coming back, though. I don't. But nothing surprises me as far as John Emery is concerned at this point. There have been so many instances where you thought he was just done at LSU. But you keep bringing him back. I would be open to it. I really would, because, number one, there are no academic hurdles to clear anymore. If you're a graduate and you still have eligibility left, you're straight, the way I understand it. Number two, though, his injury, which I believe was an ACL tear, was late in the year. So for him to be fully healthy, now, once again, surgeries like this have evolved so much that it's a lot easier to come back quickly. But all that aside, it would be really hard for him to play next year for LSU. So I don't know what his plans are. I really don't. It's kind of a interesting situation to say the least. But I hope he does play next year. I really, really, really do. Now, as far as Trey Holly is concerned, I think we are underrating how much he would actually play next year. He would play a lot. He would play a whole hell of a lot for LSU next year. And I know, like, his biggest moments came mostly in mop-up time. And I do think Caleb Jackson is just a better player. But Trey Holly is solid. Like, I see him having a Terrence McGee-like of career. Like, not being a spectacular player, but just good. Like, he's just solid. So, I hope everything gets clear. Hope everyone is fine from that. But, man, it's insane. Like, yeah, I want to show some love to my other SEC fam, Auburn. They had a player running back who was shot and is in critical condition, and his brother also passed. And that just sucks. Like, I feel really, really, really bad for my Auburn friends. I believe it was Brian Batty is his name. And, you know, life is so short, man. It really, really, really is. So my thoughts are with him and his family and the Auburn family. I mean, they've had some tragedy. I mean, they've had some lives cut short of some of their athletes, and that just shatters me. It really, really, really does. So I'm praying for that young man. I really am. Sad, a Big Al. What's up, Big Al? Master Blaster's in here. Fetty, what's up, man? Fetty's concerned about the RB debt. Yeah. Only thing I'll push back here, Cortland, is like, you can go to almost every SEC program and find athletes involved in shootings. And yeah, I don't say that as like a really a defense of LSU. I say that just sadly. Like, one bit of gun violence is too much gun violence. And it's not me getting political or anything like that. It's just a sad reality, and it's really, really freaking sad. But you know, it's just it. Like, it's terrible. It's awful. It really, really, really is. And I don't know the details of the Auburn case at all. I just read that and my heart shattered. Kid was actually a pretty solid player for them. Mostly as a kick returner.
Okay.
Let's go to chance here. Florida was truly another manufactured rivalry, but it became your favorite. So this is where I'll push back on. All right. I don't think it was manufactured. I think it's the opposite. I think it was probably the most natural, visceral disdain that we've ever had between any team we've played. Like, I don't think LSU Florida ever set out to be anything. I just think how those games have played and some of the culture and bickering off the field. And the cultures of the two teams and the two programs are so different. They really, really, really are. I think LSU Florida is like the most natural the most natural hated thing. Now, one way I could say it was manufactured is that it was labeled as a rivalry for the sake of being a cross-division rival so that the SEC can keep its really horrible rule, which was the cross-division rivalry, okay? So it was manufactured in that that was the team that we played every year from the East, which 10 years from now, when we look back on it, we will see how bad of a rule that was and how bad of a schedule structure it was, okay? But LSU Florida was very natural hatred. It didn't ever have like a hokey-dokey name. It didn't have like anything other than just hatred of the two schools towards each other. And I can't really speak too much on like the how the programs felt about each other way back when. But you mean you go back to the Kev Falk days, that was like the first. It wasn't like the first big one, but it was a big, big moment, you know, the Sports Illustrated and all that stuff. But, you know, LSU Florida, you know, there's just so much. And, you know, I had a Florida graduate on, Andy Staples, and we talked about how much we loved that game. And look, Andy went to Florida. There's always going to be a piece of him that's going to be a Florida fan. And when I brought that up, you could see how, you know, he glowed and said, hey. Now, Chance, Cortland agrees with you. He says Florida was 100% manufactured. But yeah, you know, it was that's the point. They were made for each other just based on keeping a stupid, crappy rule together. So in theory, yes, the SEC forced these two schools to play each other every year. But it naturally became a thing, right? Like Florida was just, I don't know, like I just hate them more than all the other teams. Like I really, really do. I just hate them. I had a bad experience in Gainesville. It was horrible. They beat our asses too. I still, it's seared in my mind. Brandon Spikes booting the ball 50 rows deep. I was like, that really hurt my soul. But yeah, I think Florida is very natural.
Let's see.
Pacers, man.
The Indiana Pacers.
Oh, we're getting we got a debate over which is the worst city. We want it.
Honestly, like, there's no reason to get into a debate about the crime statistics of this city versus that city, right? Most major metropolis cities have bad murder rates and bad shootings and all of that. And there's a lot of different ways you can measure these things, right? Like, once again, I'm not a crime statistician. I've always found it interesting, though, that homicide rate is like the be-all, end-all for a lot of different things. I won't get into, you know, a diatribe about that. I'm not saying homicide isn't a big deal, but, you know, there's a whole different debate about which is the murder capital of the world. Is it Baton Rouge? Is it St. Louis? Is it Chicago? Is it wherever? It's a serious debate, but it's a silly debate to say this city is like 10 times worse than this other city when most major metropolises are bad. Okay. But it's not a debate I'm going to have here. It's not. And I'm not covering for Baton Rouge. It is bad. Trust me, it's bad. Like, I hear from friends all the time saying that, hey, this is, it's a sad reality. And people that lived in Baton Rouge their whole life have said this. Now, I would kindly ask the chat to move on from that, though, because no one comes here for me to get into those types of matters. Now, in the next 5 to 10, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do super chat, we'll keep the party moving along. By the way, if you don't mind, fantasy football drafts are already happening. And you can go sign up with my promo code with Underdog Fantasy. Promo code Carter, deposit match bonus to a hundo. I did my first Best Ball Mania draft today. And what Best Ball Mania is a fantasy football tournament. It's a $25 entry fee. But if you win the tournament, you win $1.5 million. And I'm trying to win that tournament. I did my first one today. And I drafted a pretty good team. At least I feel like that's a team that could win it all. But there's other tournaments. There is a $5 tournament going on right now where the first place, it's $50,000. First place. All you got to do is draft the right team. And guess what? It's not season long. You just draft the team. They set the lineups for you every week. Go sign up now. Promo code Carter. It is the funnest way to play fantasy football, I promise you. Promo code Carter. Now, we'll take a few more here. If you've not gotten your question answered or your comment replied to, I will happily get to it right now. Fire it on in. if you're watching and you've never, I'm actually going to do something I normally don't do because, you know, I get messages off to the side that say, hey, I don't ever comment, but I just want to, you to say that I watch. But yeah, if you've never commented before and you've always kind of been on the fence by commenting, this is your chance. This is me pushing you in that direction. It's peer pressure. I want to learn more about our viewers that just watch in the background, like Garl today. I was very happy to meet Garl. So, Day-Day, good to see you. Let's see. What's up, y'all? I'm late to see LSU. Now, we did win a huge game in softball. And all we got to do is win two more games, and we're going to the College World Series. And LSU baseball pretty much locked up their NCAA tournament berth. At least I think so. All right. I think that's going to do it for me. Once again, big thanks to nooffseason.com. I'm a proud partner of the nooffseason.com network. I am a proud nooffseason.com talent creator with my sports card show every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Central on the Football Card Quest. So check it out, nooffseason.com. I never thought a sports card brand would be one of our biggest partners we've ever had on here. But that's how much they believe in my sports card knowledge. And obviously sports cards are a big part of what we do. Garl, shoot me an email. I'm going to send you this Daryl Williams card. If you're still watching, Garl, powerhourlsu at gmail.com. Had a few $20 super chatters tonight. Shout out to the awesome LA mom. Shout out to the awesome JJ. They have both won so much stuff, and I wouldn't be here today without those two. Wouldn't be here without Jared, TJ, Justin also supered, Skip, Simp. Okay. Daryl Williams, man, he does not like. Like, he was so good. Selfless. And it paid off in the long run, winning a few, I almost said natties, a few Super Bowls with the Chiefs. Love me some Daryl Williams, man. I kind of like the 6 p.m. Sunday start time. I might keep that. Hmm. All right. That'll do it. Once again, Simper, JJ, Skipper, Justin, Garl, Jared, and LA Mom back from her cruise. They Thank you guys so much. It is Power Hour LSU. Bah! And tonight, oh, I got some leftover ribs. And it's like this habanero mango or like raspberry barbecue sauce they put on it. I didn't think I'd like it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Huh? Oh, man, let's go. Let's freaking go.